God, we just tell you this weekend is yours. And even saying that shows how wrong we look at our lives. Because, Lord, you tell us that apart from you, we don't even receive the next breath. Every moment is yours. But, God, what we want to do is we want to say that just, again, just for the weekend, we're going to slow down the other things that can cloud our vision of you and just focus on you. So God, please speak to us as we go through this weekend. Speak to us as we just slow down. Spirit, speak and give us ears to hear. Amen. Well, I want to introduce this guy to you, Swanee. Some of you may know him. I remember when Chris Backard and I were the two elders of NLCF after the team went to L.A. Joe Rasick helped lead that team, and JR, the guy who planted the church. And for those of you that are going to be at the alumni dinner, you'll well, I guess no, JR will be speaking on Sunday, so everybody get to hear him. But Backard and I were elders together. And one of the things we discovered very quickly is we are very, very similar in the way that we do things. And so it was just intense kind of all the time. And we knew we needed to bring someone into our mix that was more reflective. And we needed someone that would cause us to pause a little bit and think about all these ideas we were having and ask the question, is it a good one? And it didn't take us long to realize that Mike Swan was that guy. And he said the first few months that he was an elder with us, when Chris and I would talk, I remember, and he had this kind of look on his face, like he just wasn't quite sure kind of what his role was or what to say. But what Swan became, and Sarah was this as well, not only just wonderful friends, but truly a partner in ministry. We don't look at a lot of things the same way. And that's part of the reason that I love him so much. He causes me to look at things through a different set of lenses. And you know, just the, when you meet him, the thing that you notice instantly about him, he's so pastoral. You know, I love people, but they can't always tell quite as easily. Swanee, you just know it. And so they were asked to consider moving down to Orlando, that was really, really a tough decision. And it was even hard because I felt like it was the right thing for them to consider. And so giving them the freedom to think about what God was saying when I knew that what likely could happen is that we would lose them, that was tough. But I'm very excited that they could be back with the boys this weekend. Our kids are very excited to see them tomorrow. And I'm excited to hear what Swanee has to say to us. So everybody say hey to Swanee.
Term I used for myself during those years was the breaks. Hey, let's stop and think about that for a second. This is awesome. So good to be back. Be back in this room. Had a lot of conferences in this room. Had a lot of retreats in this room. Be back with these folks. There's our kids. You probably saw them running around out there. Avid soccer players. Avid dancers. Avid kids about life. We're so glad to be back. Let's look, if you would, at John 15. And we'll stay in that text. We'll also look over at Galatians 5, but you might have memorized that as a kid if you were into those things at that time of life. I was not, but you might already know those. Let's look at John 15. And it'll be up here on the screen for you if you don't have a scripture with you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we're reminded of what some of that fruit is in Galatians 5, when it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I got some people going right along with that. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, since we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. I think we all want to be fruitful, right? In some way, we all want to be fruitful. We all want to like have this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those things in our life. We want to have that fruit coming out of our life. We want to live missionally, right? And we want to do those wild things and live in a community that's totally different than what you'd lived in before and experience real poverty. We, you know, whether that's the thing that we want to do or something, we all want to live a fruitful life. And we'll explore a little bit of how does that happen. But let me give you a little bit of background. I came here in 92 to be a mechanical engineer. And after 2 full years of mechanical engineering and decent grades, and I just finally looked up to the Lord and said, God, I don't like this. I don't like mechanical engineering. Wound up a music education major. Yeah, not many credits transferred between those two. So I did a few extra laps, yeah, 6 years. If you ever saw a 6-year Hokie license plate sometime in your time, that was mine. During that time, during those first 2.5 years, I really didn't find community. I was exactly what you said. I tried for a month to 3 months and nothing stuck, and I just kept hopping from place to place, not really finding community and probably wrestling with God a lot during that time too. And it was at that point when a guy who I knew was not following Christ, was not really a believer, said, hey, you should come to this church. And I was like, okay, you're really excited about it. So I wanted to go, have to make sure it wasn't a cult. And then the other half to see, like, what was he talking about? And this guy, J.R. Woodward, who had helped found NLCF, he's going to be talking on Sunday morning. He was there and he was speaking at Colonial Hall. And it was like he was talking right to me. And I was like, this is my place. This is my home. This is where I need to be. And so I started going to NLCF and really honestly kind of walked both sides of the fence for a little while in my life. I had been sucked in. I was a marching Virginian. So anybody, any MVs here? Yeah. Anybody? No MVs. Oh, so sad. Does my heart hard. So I was involved with them, and I really was kind of walking both sides of the fence for part of my life, if you know what I mean by that. There were some things that I just wasn't giving up to the Lord, especially in the area of relationships and dating. I remember at LT, leadership training, another good LT story, in 97, I'm walking the beach. I'm in jeans because it's early on in the season, and it's a little cold there at Myrtle Beach, and I remember getting down on my knees in the sand and just putting my arms out and going, okay, Lord, fine, I give this up to you. And then I remember thinking, it's 9:30 at night, and there are people walking the beach, and I'm down here on my knees and my arms out. And I'm like, I don't care. And I remember God saying some specific things about what I needed to release in my life and get rid of and go make right. And then at the same time saying, I think you should consider staff with NLCF. I was like, oh, that's not what we were talking about. I knew those staff go, and I don't know if you know this, but they go and raise financial support so they can be here. They go and ask people to support them so they can be here. Because as I like to say about the tithe on Sunday morning at LCF, 10% of zero is still zero, no matter how you do it. So they go and raise financial support so they can do this, and they take a period of time of doing that. So in 98, I went down to Orlando, Florida, and got trained and came back up to Richmond. Richmond, anybody from Richmond here in the house? Yeah, yep. We're Midlothian, South Side, represent. So I went and raised my financial support in about 8.5 months, and then came back here and in 99, February of 99, my first thing I got to do was lead the worship teams again that I had been doing as a student. There's this wonderful lady in the back that I met that first night, my first role that I did on staff. Her name is Sarah. It was Watts, it's now Swan. So go on staff, and you'll meet that person. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so we lived here in Blacksburg, lived as a part of the church, led what we called home groups back then before they were engaged groups, led worship teams, got commissioned in 04, got ordained in 07, right around the same time as the campus shootings, right around the same time as starting the downtown congregation, right around the same time as sending off a church plant to Richmond. A lot was going on in our lives during that time. But it was a good time, and God used it a lot. We spent the next 5 years here, and then like Jim said, about 3 years ago, we started considering taking a role down in Orlando, Florida. And it is much warmer there, as Jim said. I have my gloves on because it's warmer there, and I'm used to it now. But I helped train missionaries. I helped train them in support raising, the very thing that I did 14 years ago, now 16 years ago, get to train people in doing, and also help make sure that Steve laughed and said, you know, that I write his paycheck now, which is somewhat true. At least my team writes his paycheck now, which is fun. But we love it. We enjoy it, but we certainly miss here. Right, not long after then, we visited LT in Virginia Beach, and we taught there. And some of you guys who, if you're a junior here, you didn't know me probably, unless you were at LT that summer that I came, and some of y'all I got to meet there, and that was cool. And I thought, coming back to LT, I would look like these guys. We're going to show a video here, and if you don't get the humor of this video, these are guys who were great college football players. But then when it came to pros, didn't quite measure up. And this is just a fun little video clip. You might have seen this before.
Yes, nice hit.
Seriously, Dish is awesome. Now we can watch live college football anywhere.
I know. It's like we're back in college.
I wish.
College?
I can go back to college?
Yeah, every game day with Dish.
I'm in.
I think that's Heath Shuler.
What's up, guys?
We're going back to college.
Take me with you.
Stay connected to your team with the most football anywhere. Get in the game with Dish.
That's what I was afraid I was going to be there at that LT. Like, oh, take me back to Virginia Tech. Take me back to college. And yet I knew, and we sensed, even as we left, now don't ask Benjamin, our oldest son, because he was telling us, God, no, God has told me we're supposed to still be in Blacksburg. He loves you guys. He loves kind of being the mascot of the church, and he misses that. But for us, we knew, like, okay, we're in the right spot. We're going where God's called us to, but it has not been easy. My job is no longer biweekly sermons where I'm forced to get in the scripture or I don't have anything to say on Sunday mornings. That's not my job anymore, right? And my kids, you know, my preschooler has homework. Like, why does my preschooler have homework? He's five. And they assigned it on the weekend. And so Benjamin's done with his homework. And then Thea's got homework on the weekend. Now, we're good parents, so he's like, oh, it's so much fun. We're going to clip out things that start with the letter T. And we're going to paste it onto a piece of paper. And he's like, yay. And we're like, oh, why are we doing this on Monday morning? Because we forgot to do it all weekend. I get to coach 3 to 5 year olds in soccer. And some of them get it. Nathaniel, he gets it. He's awesome. He's five. The three-year-olds that I teach, they're like running after the crowd. They don't even realize there's a ball there. I'm like, there's the ball. Go get the ball. Like, hey, where's the crowd going? La, 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 la. I went out for a high five, and one of my three-year-olds handed me grass. Like, oh, okay, high five or a hand of grass. That's fine. It gets more complicated. And I have to have discipline to abide in Christ. Right? I really appreciated what Jason was sharing and what you guys were sharing and just watching all the things that you've been able to do. Because we all want to bear fruit. And something interesting about Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not listed as the fruits, plural, of the Spirit, which is key because We want to strive for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You know, if you have a kid, you know you need more patience. You figure that out very fast. You want to be more loving. We all do. And yet we like want to have these fruits sometimes without that sense of staying connected to the vine. And so we force ourselves to try to be Nathaniel's little preschool group sang this great song. And it was like, the fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. And they did these little banana things. And then, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, but I mean, they were forcing themselves into these little positions, right? A banana. And it made me think that's what we try to do sometimes, right? We want to be a banana, you know, or we want to have love. We want to have love, so we force ourselves to have love, and we grit our teeth, and I'm going to love people. I'm going to have patience with this kid who's asked me 20 times for ice cream, and I told him 20 times, no, Thea, you can't have ice cream. I want to have patience in those moments, and so many times I don't. And that patience doesn't come from trying to force ourselves to be that banana. It comes from abiding in the vine, right? As we abide in the vine, we grow. As we rest in God, and that is such a hard concept, right? Because we want to strive and we want to fight so hard, and sometimes we have to. And I like that Jason and I's talks are so similar. And yet, you know, Jason talks about striving, and I'm going to say rest and abide. And there's a tension there, and it's beautiful, because we have to be stalwart in keeping that relationship with Christ, and we have to dig our feet in sometimes and say, I'm not going to get swept away by some of that stuff. And then we have to just rest, and we have to abide in him. How do we do that? How do we abide in the Lord? I came up with these, and I thought I was like, man, this is good stuff. We need to abide in him, abide in God, abide in community with him, and then we need to abide with people who are not believers in him, and we need to abide with God while we're hanging out with people. But what is this? It's up at and in, and you guys already did it, and I was like, oh, that was really cool. I'm like, oh, I've already heard that before. Like, they've already talked about it now. But that's what we need to do. We need to abide in Christ and have those moments of getting away and spending time with him, abiding alone in Christ in scripture and in prayer and those things. We need to abide in a community with him. And some of you guys, as you get jobs or as you have majors, I love engage groups. When Jim came to me at first, I was like, I don't know. What about this engage group thing? And how are we going to do this? But yet, finding people who love to do sports and doing life with them, man, that's fantastic. Finding other believers that you're going to hang out and do the same events with and hang out with and chill with. And yet, at the same time, you're going to reach people through that process. And you're going to have both of those things going on at the same time. I love it. I love what this has become. And it's so great to see it come to fruition. And that goes for us who have graduated as well, right? We need to find that community. Maybe you have it, and awesome. If you don't, you know, continue to strive for that. Continue to try to find that. Abide with people who are not believers at work. You might find other people who are believers. Have a little Bible study. You could have your own little engage group. It's essentially a missional community, if you've heard that word, or any other thousands of terms that we use and slap on those things. And you could have that at work and find other believers and pray together and seek God around your friends together and draw people to him. And sometimes we have seasons where it feels like, this is easy. I am just abiding in Christ. Fruit is coming out, and it's just so awesome. And sometimes we have times where it is just not. We realized pretty quickly when we graduated. Now, we were on staff, so we had a little more flexibility to do this. But especially as we had kids, it's like, man, we used to make a lot of our relational connections between like 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. in the morning, right? When we were just hanging out at our dorm room and we had nothing else to do but sit around and talk about life. And all of a sudden, those times are filled around getting kids to bed and falling asleep because they're going to be up at 6 a.m. the next morning. And like those times where we had that rich community are harder to find. We need to continue to strive for those things. And we can abide in a lot of different things. I can find myself trying to abide in lots of things like Hokie football, which has not brought love, joy, peace, patience, any of those things this year. I can find myself trying to abide in little games on my phone. Anybody played, what was the one? What's the one where you literally grab the idol? Temple Run. Did any of you guys play Temple Run on your phones? Because some of you guys, you literally grab an idol. You grab the idol, and then you run with it, and some gorilla chases you, right? That's what I would abide in. That's what I would try to find some peace and comfort in, and those things I'm learning didn't provide that. I'm learning to re-embrace daily habits, time with the Lord, exercise, taking care of my body. Jim's probably laughing in the back because these are things that I've always wanted to do more of, but I'm learning to abide in Christ more. A while ago at a campground like this, I don't think it was this one, a speaker said, just whatever you do, make a commitment to always follow God with your life. To always follow God. Whether, no matter what happens, no matter what life brings you, no matter what comes your way, to always say yes eventually. There are going to be times where you feel like you're saying no. And where you're, I don't want to talk to this person. I feel like I should. I don't want to. To always say yes eventually to God. It may take a while. There are seasons, months, years sometimes where it's weak and it's hard. It's hard to abide, continue, make that commitment. It stays with me all the time. It haunts me, that commitment that I made. And yet it is so wonderful to continue to strive after him. Abide in Christ. Say yes. Whether it's college, we have all those things that can distract us. Whether it's career, whether it's kids, all those things that can distract us that are good things, they're wonderful things. And yet we need to continue to realize what's first, to abide, to spend time up, to spend time out, to spend time in, and to abide with Christ. If I could, I'm going to pray for you guys, and then I think we're going to continue on with worship. God, it is so good. So good to follow after you. So good to be back here. God, it is so good to see these freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors. It's so good to see alumni back in here and faces of friends that have been around for a long while. God, help us, help none of us to be those guys in that diner looking back and saying, oh, take me back to college. Because that's when, maybe I wasn't this great football player, but maybe that's when my life with Christ was so strong and vibrant. Help us not to be that, God. Help us to seek you and to know where we are right now and to move forward in that. Pray for these awesome college students, God, that you would move in their life and you would walk them through this and they would experience the up and the out and the in and they would make a great transition once they graduate to a new church and a new community and a new place. Pray for our alumni that are here, that all of us would get connected, that we would abide in you, we would abide with community, and we would bring others to know you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.